Turning our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, reading verses 1 to 20. We'll be finishing this section this morning, 1 to 20. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind shall lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth and goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of that section of his inspired word. Religious error in two areas is what we learn from Jesus Christ's teaching in this section. The erroneous views of these religious people. First of all, they had an erroneous view of what holiness is. They thought that holiness was keeping their extra traditions, their man-made rules and add-ons, and when you do all that, when you've done that, that makes you holy and spiritual. So therefore they did not company with sinners, they would not eat with sinners, and they had ceremonial hand-washing and all sorts of things. And as then, so now, there are still religious people who keep many religious traditions, believing that holiness is accomplished through performance of man-made rules. And some of these rituals even contradict the scriptures. And yet these people will still continue to observe their man-made rules, just like Pharisees. Today we're going to look at the second erroneous view that these Pharisees or religious people had. They had an erroneous view of sin. They were in error on the doctrine of sin. From this passage, we can see that the Pharisees thought that they were already nice and clean and pure. But they just needed to keep clean and pure by ceremonial hand washing and other things. They were already pure, but they needed to keep clean and pure from outward defilement. So defilement was outside, but they were clean and pure, and they needed to keep clean from the outward defilement. So they washed hands before they ate bread. They didn't go near sinners. They wouldn't talk to sinners. They kept away because they wanted to keep pure. They wouldn't eat with sinners because they wanted to keep pure. Their view was that sin is outside us, and we need to keep clear of it. Verse 2 says, they asked Jesus, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" Verse 11 says, Jesus says, "It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles the man." And verse 20, the list of sins, "These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man." They thought defilement was outside, and they were going to become sinful by touching outward things. You see, they believed if you obey our tradition, our man-made rules, to keep pure and not be defiled from outside, don't be getting defiled from the environment or the company that you keep. They thought sin was an outward thing. Sin is in the environment, they thought. Sin is in other people. And we need to keep away from that. We need to avoid those outward things. So we'll wash our hands and we'll keep away from certain people. You see their philosophy of sin. Sin is outward, coming in. Sin is an outward thing, trying to pollute and defile them. Because they're already pure, they thought. So here are these traditions that they made up to avoid getting contaminated with sin. Their mentality, their way of thinking is this: we are pure naturally, but touching things might make us sinful, might contaminate us. Eating bread that is ceremonially unclean with unwashed hands would be putting sin inside us. In other words, outward things coming in, our surroundings, our environment, and other people, that is what defiles us and makes us sinners. That was their philosophy. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says it's not outward things coming in that makes you sinners, that makes men sinners. It's what is already in you that makes you a sinner. It's what comes out of your heart that makes you a sinner. You are all sinners already, says Jesus. And it comes out of you in verse 11. He says that. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of his mouth that defiles a man. Jesus says, sin is not in the environment around you. Sin is in the human heart. You see, the doctrine of sin, that's what Jesus is teaching on in the second half of this section. Religious people are in great error in this area, the doctrine of sin. They've got the total wrong end of the stick, as it were. The erroneous view of sin is this. We are pure and holy, and we try not to get polluted or contaminated with sin from the environment. Sin is outside me. That is the error, okay? The true view of sin is this. We are sinful, and we are the ones that pollute and contaminate the environment with sin. Sin is in me, is the true view of sin. So you've two views. One thinks man is basically good. That's the error. Religious people think that. And you've got the true view that man is basically sinful. Now, note two things from the passage. I've just introduced it to you, the general two themes of the latter half. I want to note two things about sin. Number one, we see that the doctrine of sin is an essential doctrine. That's verses 10 to 14. And secondly, we see that sin is not outward coming in, but just the opposite. Verses 11, 17 to 20. But firstly, the first point, the doctrine of sin is an essential doctrine. That's verses 10 to 14. You see what the Lord Jesus does here. He calls the multitudes. He tells them to hear and understand in front of the Pharisees. And he says, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out. His disciples then come to him and they say, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended? He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Some doctrines in the Bible are matters indifferent. Should or should you not eat ham sandwiches? The New Testament makes that a matter indifferent. Some doctrines in the Bible are important. Baptism, church government. Some are important, aren't they? But some of the doctrines in the Bible are absolutely essential. And the doctrine of sin is one of those essential doctrines. Like faith, repentance from sin, the gospel, to believe in God. These are essential doctrines. And if you don't believe an essential doctrine, you can't be a Christian. There's no leeway. There's no room for compromise on an essential doctrine. And the doctrine of sin, according to this passage, is essential, according to Jesus. We see from this section that you can't be wrong on the doctrine of sin and be a child of God. You cannot believe that sin is outside and we have to keep clean from it by religious tradition and be a Christian. No. Jesus told the truth in verse 11. In verse 12, the disciples say, Lord, do you not know that that offended those Pharisees? What does the Lord say? Oh, does the Lord say, hang on a minute, I didn't mean to offend you? Is that what he does? Did the Lord say, oh, let me apologize for offending you? Did he say, we can agree to differ on the doctrine of sin? No. Jesus says in verses 13 and 14, let them be. You know what that means? Who cares whether or not they're offended? They are not my Father's children. God didn't plant them. They are blind. Leave them alone. Don't worry about offending them. Because they're blind and they lead the blind, and they're all going to end up in the ditch. They are not God's. They don't see the truth. Do you see how, according to what Jesus says here, you cannot differ on the doctrine of sin and be God's child? It's an essential doctrine. And because they were wrong in this, Jesus said, they're not God's. That sin is in man and comes out of man, verse 11, is a doctrine essential. There will be no compromise on that. There is no leeway to be given. If you're wrong on this doctrine, you need to get converted. Jesus Christ, who is the epitome of God's grace and mercy and love, Jesus Christ has no time and no tolerance for this erroneous, illogical, foolish view of sin. Sin is outside me coming in, and I need to keep clean. That is laughable if it wasn't so serious. It's a load of nonsense. Man is the corruption. He is the defilement in this world. Man. It's man that ruins the environment, not the other way around. Hermits and monks tried. They had this mentality, many of them. And they thought, if I can just get away from other people and get away from the world and get away from all the temptations and go and live in a cave on my own for years. And many of them did that. Then I'd be able to be very holy. And you know what they found? Sin was right with them in the cave on their own, because it was right in their own heart. Sin's not in the environment, it's in us. Not to believe in the biblical doctrine of sin, both original and actual, is to be damned. That's the truth. So that's the first thing we note. The doctrine of sin is an essential doctrine. Secondly, this morning, sin is not outside coming in, but indeed it is just the opposite. Now, I've already read it a few times, verse 11. You know what it says. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out. Verse 17 to 20. Jesus says to the disciples, do you not yet understand that whatever enters in at your mouth goes into your belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And it's from the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, and so on. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Jesus says, it's not what goes into your mouth that makes you a sinner. It's what comes out of your mouth that proves you're a sinner. He elaborates, he says, when you're Peter, when you eat food, you put it in your mouth, it goes into your stomach, and your body breaks it down and uses all that it needs, and then gets rid of what you don't need. It's an ordinary process. It's not mystical putting in of sin. Now you may ask the question, why, as Peter no doubt did, why does the things that come out of a man's mouth make him a sinner? Well, Jesus answers that. Verse 18. Because whatever comes out of a man's mouth comes from his heart. And Jesus says in verse 19, for it's out of his heart that proceeds or advances evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, which means telling lies, and blasphemy. Out of the heart comes sin, the heart of man. The origin of sin in this world, says Jesus, is the human heart. Sin comes from the heart. It comes from within the person, not from without. It's the heart that's sinful, and it's the heart that is rotten. Therefore, human beings do not sin because of their environment. They do not sin because of bad outward circumstances impinging upon them. No, they sin because they are sinners and their hearts are full of sin. So the Pharisees, these religious people, were wrong about their doctrine of sin. It's as easy for a human being to sin as for a fish to swim in water. It's their nature. Do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying in this passage? It has great application, you know, for today and modern man's silly mentality of how to fix society. It has great application. Jesus is saying, you're not a sinner because you ate a dirty bit of bread with unclean hands. You're a sinner because your heart's rotten and full of sin. And sin's not outside you, it's inside you. And that's precisely where the pollution is. Now this is very relevant to modern society and sociology. Now sociologists, you study sociology in university society and how it works and how to control it and bad behaviour and all that. They get everything wrong, of course, because they got this doctrine wrong. People today, you see, say that criminals and adulterers and murderers and rapists and paedophiles and liars and thieves and brawlers and blasphemers and drunkards and people that mug other people, they've been saying this for the last 20 or 30 years. These people, you see, are not responsible really for their actions because they do these things because of outside circumstances. You know, they didn't have much of a chance that their environment made them do it, you see. The way their upbringing led to this, their behaviour. Their lack of education. Their poor housing. Their poverty sort of led them to do these things. Outside circumstances led these people to do these sinful acts. And the people who say that today say, you know, you to fix society, you've got to put people in a better environment and they'll behave better. You need to give them better education. better housing, build more leisure centres, more free time, give them more finances, and that will cure the problem. This has been the philosophy for the last 40 or 50 years. And if you do that, it will lead to better behaviour. In other words, what people are saying is this: the problem is outward. It's the circumstances. Not that the people are bad, it's just the outward circumstances. And then what does the government do? Well, we've seen it now for years and years. Humanists, atheists, they're all thinking this way. How do we fix society? We've got to improve the environment. We make better housing. We'll get everybody educated better, more better education, more wages, more money handed out. We'll ease the punishment for criminals. We'll build more leisure centres. And people today have more material goods than what they've ever had in Northern Ireland before. But I want to ask you this. Does it lead to better behaviour? No. Why does it not lead to better behaviour? Because Jesus says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adultery and all other sins. It's man's heart that's sinful and wicked. Sin's inside human beings. Sin's got nothing to do with outward circumstances. Very often, those that have had the best upbringing are the worst sinners. Not true. Often those that are the most educated are the most depraved. That's why we have university riots. The best educated. Quite often those that are very rich financially are indeed the biggest thieves. You see, giving money doesn't cure the problem. It makes it worse. And very often those that live in palaces or mansions are those that have the morals of a sewer rat. Not true. Don't tell me you get better houses make better behaviour. People do not sin because of their environment or poverty or lack of education or anything else. They sin because their hearts are sinful. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want to give you a few examples, just current examples, that prove that the environment in which we live, the good environment, doesn't make people better behaved. Listen to this first headline. This is the recent news, okay, in the United Kingdom. Cuts to the police force. There's now less policemen in England and Wales than what there has ever been before. Okay? Less policemen. The cuts to the police force have had a predictable impact. Crime has gone up. Police recorded crime shows that since 2013, crime rates have risen by 7.5%. Serious crime has gone up much more. Recorded incidents of violence against people have increased by 65.1%. Recorded incidents of possession of a weapon have increased 28.7%. recorded incidents of public order offences have increased by 54% since 2014. Now, all these people have good houses and leisure centres in their community. Let me give you the next headline. Trauma doctors reveal horror of knife crime epidemic. In Bedfordshire, where Luton is situated, a Home Office report found that knife crime has risen by 86% since 2014. 86%. We have seen increase in woundings of all methods, also beatings, stabbings, and the use of firearms. This is people that now have more money than ever before. The next headline, listen to this. Here's the advice of the police. Secondary schools should stagger their closing times to allow the children out at different times, not all together. And police chiefs should stage more uniform patrols in the areas outside schools where knifings are most common, in a bid to curb the growing toll of injuries. Listen to this doctor. This is a trauma surgeon in England. When I started as a surgical trainee 20 years ago, the youngest person we would see who had been stabbed was 17. But now, we often see people as young as 12 or 13 who are stabbed. This happens not infrequently, said Professor Karam Brohe, one of the co-authors of a book about the director of the NHS's trauma system in London. He says, quote, on a regular basis, I have to go and tell a mother or father that their kid has been severely stabbed, and sometimes I have to tell them they have died. I am having those conversations more regularly now. These are educated people. In a far better environment. Last example. Police are investigating after a homeless man was burnt when a lit firework was placed in his pocket in an animalistic attack in Liverpool. The rough sleeper, the homeless man, was described by volunteers as an old army veteran, and he suffered burns to his skin, his clothes, and his hands in the city centre attack on Monday night. An old army veteran without a home gets attacked by young people who burn him. Educated young people that live in an environment where there's loads of leisure centres and plenty of money. Don't tell me you put people in a better environment and they behave better. Just the opposite. Sin is not in the environment. It's in their heart. Now these facts prove that sin is not in the environment. We've made it better. The government has tried to make it better. Sin is not in a lack of education. Sin is not in a bad upbringing. Sin is not in poverty nor in poor houses. Sin is in the heart of every human being, no matter how rich and privileged they are. All the people that are committing these increasingly serious crimes are living in a better environment. They are educated. They have more money. Do you know that if you go to school, when you turn 16 now, all 16 to 17 year olds are given £30 a week. You don't get it if you're homeschooling, by the way. Samuel didn't get it, and others aren't. Because the government has a bias, of course, against what you're allowed to do in this country legally. But the kids have £30 a week. I wish I got £30 a week when I was 16. I got a fiver from my dad, you know. That was good pocket money. All these people that are committing these serious crimes have more money than ever before. They live in better houses than ever before. And they're more, they have more education, more entertainment than ever before. People like my grandfather, and after him my own father, after World War II, they didn't have those things, you know. They lived in a worse environment. They really were poor. They had no computers, because computers didn't exist. They had no leisure centres. There was no such thing. There was no mobile phones. There was no PC games. And there was no internet. Hadn't been invented. And they all had to work really hard. And you know what? All those generations never did any of these things that we're seeing in our privileged society. They were nothing like what we are now. Did you read? I noticed in the news just last week, I think it was, could have been the week before, our old man in a shopping mall in England with his poppy on, collecting for Remembrance Day. He was in his uniform, covered in medals, a survivor of World War II, was mugged and robbed by a group of young people in the shopping mall. You going to tell me you put kids and people in a better environment and they're going to behave better? Sin is in their heart, and the more you pamper them, the worse they'll be. They have no morals, no respect. We are 1,000% worse and more, worse than previous generations in crime and sin and immorality. We are more depraved, but we cannot blame the environment. But we have to blame the wicked heart of human beings let loose. Politicians, humanists, and atheists are idiots. Their philosophy has not worked. The evidence is all around in society. If people are going to be better because of a better environment, why has it not? Why is it worse? They've got a wrong anthropology, their doctrine of man and human nature. They medicate symptoms. Their cures make the situation worse. And the evidence is all around for everyone to see. 5 points to tackle bad behaviour in Scottish schools. Do you want to hear them? Number one, abolish rules. Don't have any. Number two, abolish punishment. Three, tell the children their rights. Four, promote equality between the children and teachers. And five, make every effort to excuse bad behaviour. How's it going? Is it working well? What a joke. How could you take any of these people seriously, honestly? You'd need to be mad to think that would work. You're insane. You cannot believe that human beings are naturally good, that sin is in the environment. With everything around us as we can see it for the last 40 or 50 years, you can't believe that. It's totally irrational. You can't believe it without being naive. Oh, how wrong religious people are on the doctrine of sin. Sin is in others. Sin is in the environment. Sin happens because people are poor and live in bad housing. We need to keep clean and pure. What a load of nonsense. We are not pure. We are sinful. We are selfish. Sin is not around us. Sin is in us. And until we get that picture, we will tend to keep on sinning. And all the cures that people have will all be wrong. They won't work, not one of them. And the more you relax the rules and give more freedom, and the more you relax the punishment, which you don't have punishment anymore, it's called rehabilitation now, and the more you don't have any respect for people, are you just going to make the situation far worse? And that's what's happened. But it's all because of a wrong view of sin. Sin's in the human heart. I conclude. Sin is an essential doctrine, is the first point. And secondly, sin is not outward coming in, but it's inward in us going out. Putting a dirty bit of bread in your mouth doesn't make you unholy at all. Sin is not found in breaking man-made ideas and traditions. You already are a sinner. How can we change our sinful hearts? What hope is there? You know what, brethren? We cannot change our sinful hearts. It takes an act of God to change our sinful hearts. Can a leopard change its spots? Can an Ethiopian change his skin? No. That's what Jeremiah said. The Lord said through Jeremiah. Neither can you start to do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You can't change your nature. The act of God that can change the human heart is our only hope, and it's called the new birth by the Holy Spirit, which gives us a new nature. And that new nature repents of sin, turns away from it, and trusts in Jesus. And when we have that new nature, we are set free. We are at liberty. We are free from sin and at liberty to do what is good. Free from the bondage of sin. David knew this, didn't he? With this to close. You know what he said? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. That's where the problem was. The heart. Not the world, not the environment, not another people. Ourselves. The heart is the problem. Amen. Thanks for your attention this morning.